Perfect. So this interview is in association with the Garden City Arena Collection, with Soha, Brock University, and the St. Catharines Museum. So we're just going to begin, just if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your connection to the arena and to St. Catharines in general.
Okay. So my name is David Sharon. I work at Brock University. We moved here 15 years ago. I was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario, and bounced around until St. Catharines became our home. And with young kids, we wanted to get them involved in skating and hockey. And as soon as my boys joined the CYO Hockey League, we were playing at the Jack Gatecliff Arena and the Rex Steimers. So that's the Garden City Arena. I didn't even know it was called that until this project started. So interesting. I'm always learning a bit of history too. So since they were 5-6 years old, we've been playing out of the Jack until my sons kind of grew out of the league, being 18 years old. And last time I was there was just last year when COVID shut the league down.
So your sons made you get involved with the Garden City Arena, joining the hockey?
Yes, for the first couple of years, I was just a happy father watching his kids play and having no responsibilities or anything. And after 2 years, the individuals who are coaching my sons, they moved on to another league, and there was kind of a vacuum for the team. So myself and another father both volunteered to be coaches. And then for the next 10 years, I was a coach for my son's team.
Did you have any prior experience of coaching, or did you just get thrown into that?
Kind of got thrown into it. We no experience coaching, and at the time, no desire to, but certainly for me, I wanted to make sure that they were being coached by someone who wants hockey to be fun, and not thinking every kid on the ice has to be a superstar or be treated badly if they're not performing right. And I know the other father, he had the only girl on the team, and he wanted to be sure that she got a fair shake and time to play and opportunities to be her best. So we were always in the crowd talking the other prior 2 years, and it just made sense for us to step forward and be coaches.
That's hard to have the only girl on the team, too.
And good for her. Her name was Emma. She was fantastic. Always was at every practice, tried her best, you know, just fit in with the boys. But, you know, she had her own dressing room. And, you know, every time she had to come in, it's like, is everyone all right? It was different, but much better from when I played hockey as a youth, when that wouldn't even be thought of. So baby steps, and by the time we finished as them as teenagers, it was so much better than when those rules were just starting out and people just trying to figure things out. But I remember her getting changed in closets and the referee change areas and things, but by the end they were they had their own dressing room, and 15 minutes before a game they would come in and hang out with everybody and get a better full hockey experience than just being, you know, that other person on the team that they only see on the ice. So I think we made progress in 10 years, but
especially because hockey seemed to be such like a male dominated sport.
I agree. Yeah. It was a very good experience.
Yeah. So overall, how would you describe your experience with CYO, like being a coach or just being involved as a fan and a father at first?
Yeah. It was lovely. It was really nice to learn the history of the CYO organization. Like I think about 3-4 years ago they celebrated their 75th anniversary, so I had no idea it went back that far. And during that anniversary, talked to some of the people who, you know, have been involved for 40-50 years, and that was really neat. And sharing, you know, that long history with the kids on our team, you know, you're part of this team. And then we were on the St. Mary's Parish team throughout our time there. And in the basement of St. Mary's Church, there's a whole bunch of hockey trophies and memorabilia that relates to the CYO organization. And, you know, it was just, there's a legacy there. So that was good. And on a personal level, it was CYO operates different than some other leagues in the city, of course. And I knew these kids from when they were 5 years old till they're 18. So got to see them grow up. And yeah, I think there was 8 or 9 kids who stayed with the team for like those 12 years. And, you know, to see them grow up and, you know, become mature, become, you know, little jerk teenagers at times, but they were always good kids at heart. And, you know, we won 7 championships as a group and always stayed together and had a good camaraderie. And every now and then I'll still see one of the kids here at Brock or on the streets and they still call me coach. It's just, I don't even know if they know my real name. They just call me coach. It's really nice. So just think that, you know, just a small part every weekend we'd had fun together and learned a lot. So I got a lot out of it. I know that.
I still call my brothers coaches. So I think that's going to stick with you for life.
I can live with that. I've been called worse.
So with your first experience with CYO, how did you see the sport of hockey like affecting and benefiting the youth of the community?
It gave them something to do and look forward to. Sometimes it was 3 days a week, I think, on average, that we were there, and we were just house league. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the time commitment that everyone put into it, you know, all volunteers just making it work. It certainly brought people together, you know, made kids friends across different schools. Like, you know, CYO grabbed kids from all across the city. So you would see them week after week and year after year. And, you know, sometimes someone would leave our team and then you'd see them across, you're playing against them the next year and, you know, you're still friends, but, you know, on ice, you just treat them like an opponent and then you're high-fiving afterwards. And then maybe, you know, we've had a few people say, I liked it better on that team, I'm going to come back. And then they'd come back and you know, welcome them with open arms. And or you see them, you know, some of our kids were really, really exceptional. And once they had the chance to maybe move up to a travel team and stuff, you have a sense of pride that maybe you helped them a little bit along the way. My coaching, I doubt it was much, but it was always very good to feel part of the community, helping the kids just have a few days a week or a few hours of their week to be something that they enjoyed and had fun and learned a lot, made friends. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think, too, that hockey is just, it's a escape for the kids from, like, school and all that stuff that they may not necessarily like.
Absolutely, yeah. At the end of the, especially when they're teenagers, it's like, you know, when you hit 13, 14, you have so many more options to do things. But a lot of our team just stuck together, and that was, like, their fun time of the week. Otherwise, they're working or studying or having, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends and all other things, but hockey was always that kind of constant thing that was in their lives. So it was good.
Yeah. So CYO, I actually believe, is entering its 85th year of operation.
Is it 85 now? Jeez.
I think it is. So
that's great.
Do you still, in any way, are you involved with CYO or do you wish to be involved with them anymore?
I stepped back a little bit. I coached for 10 years and just my kids aged out and it was time to let some other coaches step in. Like I held that spot for a long time and maybe monopolized it a bit, kind of greedily, I guess, but I was having fun too. So give someone else a step in. If I was asked to come back, I'd have to think about it because I branched out into do other things. But, you know, when I was there, I was committed and involved and it was really, really wonderful. I can see, that's a question I didn't even expect. I can see in a couple years after getting away from a bit, I'll miss it and probably want to come back.
So what do you think? After you finished your 10 years, I think you said, of coaching, like, what have you taken away from that experience that now you use in your other jobs at Brock and such?
Oh, boy. Lots of patience, that's for sure. But just to appreciate every kid, what they bring to the classroom, the ice, anywhere. Everyone has, you know, their own backgrounds that they bring to the game. Some are in it to be competitive, others are there just to have fun, and they're all valid reasons to be there and playing hockey and enjoying the sport. So it gave me perspective as I've been called an overly competitive person at times, and it's just like, you know what, everyone should have fun with this, you know, and this isn't super serious hockey, but there's a time to be serious and play your hardest, and then there's time to just say, let's loosen up and just, you know, have a scrimmage and do a fun game at practice, and it's not all work. So that helped me. Being with these kids for a long time just gave me a wider perspective on where people are coming from and what these sports, what kind of avenue for release it is for those people and why they join it. Everyone has a different reason for it, and they're all good reasons. So mine isn't always the right way. I learned that.
Those are very good takeaways, I would say. So now with the closing of the Garden City Arena, what impact do you think that will have on the community overall in terms of like their youth?
I don't even know what the plan is for that space. Is it more buildings or apartment buildings, or is it, have they even said what's going to be in the space?
That I'm not too sure of.
Yeah, I think it'll be a loss for the community just because it's been there for, was it 1939 that the arena started or opened up at least? Or 38, 39. Mm-hmm. Like that's a long time, and you know, the legacy of the building in the area will surely be missed. There'll always be hockey somewhere, but losing that piece of the community and all the other things that it meant to St. Catharines, it will surely be missed. I'm not from here originally. I don't have a long history in the area, but when you talk to the people who grew up and went to that arena and watched the Ice Dogs and the TPs play and all the other groups, you know something's going to be lost. It's just progress of time. It's the way it goes in some places, but you know, it's a sad loss overall, but it's typical for a city to try to do something with the space. I know for the last 4 years we're playing out of the Jack. Every year it was like, are they going to open it again next year? Because there's a lot of repairs that need to be done, and you know, the city doesn't want to put a lot of money into it to keep it going. But you know, the will of the community made it last, I think, the last 4 or 5 years for sure. That's a testament to how important it was to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And does the arena closing have any personal effect on you, seeing as how it was the arena that like your sons grew up in and where you started your coaching career?
I always have good memories of it, and same with my boys. We did good Ice Dog games there too as Cub Scouts and as part of CYO. So when we pass by it now, it's still there. It is, Jack and Rex, and it's all good memories. So when it's gone, I think we'll miss it. There will be a vacancy, and not just of the space, but just where is it? You know, it triggers all good memories for us when we do go by it and see it now. So that'll be interesting the first time we go by it and it's not there. I kind of forgot what your question was, I apologize.
It was just your personal, how you felt personally about losing the arena, but yeah. It's definitely something that's sad, especially if you have so many fond memories and you drive past it so many often. That's not just going to be there.
Yes. Yeah. We use it as we go by it almost 5 times a week as a shortcut to get around downtown. Mm-hmm. So we pass it all the time.
A lot of my questions are actually about the adults that were associated with the team. So what was it like for them just in general being a part of these kids' teams?
Yeah, we had a good volunteer base out of the St. Mary's team. The parents were always wanting to be involved in some way, whether it was just rooting in the stands or helping with scheduling and making sure everyone has a ride to the people who volunteered to coach, or just be on the ice, especially when they were young and we just needed extra hands to do things. And then we had our older players who may have been 15, 16, 17, who would come and volunteer and help the Atom and the novice players on ice. Like, I know a few kids who are on ice every Saturday and Sunday, 3 hours a day, just to help. Our team in Parrish had a really, really good support system within it. And the parents were the loudest in our division, that's for sure. And it was a lot of fun. It was loud in the best ways, but it also angered the parents on the other side of the arena. It was good that one team can sit on one side and the other team can sit on the other, because there were some heated moments many times through the years, and but it added to the fun of things. Nothing bad ever happened in our games, I don't think.
That's great. So my next question is about the kids. So I was wondering if there was ever any children who came from other communities, either at the beginning of a season or in the middle of a season, to join the team. And how did their experiences differ from kids who had been there basically since their hockey started for them?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said earlier, we had a good crux of kids who were with us for all 10, 12 years overall. So when kids would come in and out, they were certainly welcome. Like when you're on the team, you're on the team, especially if you... there is a competitive side of it. So some kids, as long as you're trying, we understand not everyone's going to be great, but just put the effort in. And for some reason, our team was able to pull the effort out of kids. But I remember one person, I would say this to him almost on a weekly basis. I would say, you're the bravest kid I've ever met, because he started playing hockey at age 15 and he couldn't even skate. And you know, these kids have been skating since they were 3-4 years old, and he hadn't learned to skate, learned to play hockey, and fit in with the team at 15. And it was absolutely incredible. And he did the extra work, and he would try his hardest. And he ended up scoring 3 goals that season. And he got the biggest eruption, the biggest like pile on from everyone on the team when he would score. It was better than winning the championship, seeing him succeed and immediately be accepted into the team. And we did have a good group of people that supported each other. So, kids would come in and out of our team all the time, but we had a number come back. So I think we were an open and welcoming group.
Just kind of a follow-up question from that. You mentioned that your team was very welcoming. If you could kind of elaborate on that a little bit, kind of what that welcoming culture looked like for your team.
I just know some kids just clicked really well, and they were at different schools, but they would have sleepovers together and be friends. I know kids are still, they're all 18, 19, 20 now. They still hang out together. They spread out once they go into post-secondary, but they still have those connections. I see some of them working in the community, and it's like, oh, hey, how are you doing, so-and-so? And they would say, have you seen this guy? Have you seen that guy? They're keeping up somehow, and it's probably all social media. So they're able to keep connecting in that way. And, I know my kids, they went to a local high school here, and a bunch of guys from other schools all ended up at the same high school. And it's like they had an instant friend or someone that they knew during those first years of school. And they'd be, oh, guess what? John's in my class this year. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. And then they'd be in the dressing room talking about their homework and, how they hated it. But, they plug away and get through it. And so, it was nice to see how that worked out. And, when a new person came in, because we're pulling from all over the city, there was usually some way for the kids to connect. Like, oh, they go to the same school, so they're about the same age at the same school. There's at least someone on the team who can shepherd them a little bit and, introduce them around or make sure at practice that they understand what's going on. We had those older mentors who would come back at their practices and kind of show the kids who were new to the team or new to our format of just doing drills and things, show them how to do it or take them aside and skate with them and do things like that. So it was a really good team. And then now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm like friends on Facebook with like half the parents and coaches that, you know, I was with for the last decade. So we're still in connection and keeping up with our kids now that, you know, they're all over the planet now, it seems, going to school, doing their own different things. So it's a way to keep up with them.
Yeah, that actually leads almost perfectly into my next question, which is basically the same question, but about the adults. So parents of the kids, how were they welcomed into the community and things like that?
Sure. I do think we had a special group. I don't recall ever having like clashes between parents within our own dressing room and things like that. They were very good. All parents were welcome to participate in some way, whether it was as a parish leader or someone to help us with making sure, health and safety rep. If someone was injured on the ice, parent, you'd signal the parent and they would call an ambulance if necessary or things like that. And everyone was really ready to prepare. Like, we had donuts and snacks when the kids were really, really young. Like, after the game, it would rotate and parents would do that. We had raffles. And everyone participated. Like, and then it came to the point when the kids were a little bit older where it was like, okay, parents, you can't be in the change room anymore. You know, kids are older. Privacy is a big issue. So can't go in the dressing room. And a few parents had to be reminded a few times that you can't tie your kids' skates anymore. You know, they have to learn to do that on their own. And the kids would sneak out and get mom or dad to tie their skates anyways when we're not looking. And it, you know, it's, but you know, you just, that's part of the whole experience and them trying to share hockey a bit with their kids. But because we were a pretty successful team over the years we were playing, we also had the ability to play in tournaments when we would have to go to a hotel for a weekend. And, you know, the kids would go swimming all day and not be in any shape to play hockey afterwards and, you know, stay up all night. And, but, you know, that was all part of the fun. And all the kids would go into one room and play video games and all the adults were in the room next door just talking and getting together. So I think we did have a really unique group who gelled very well.
So I'm kind of curious about your own personal experience with this as well, because you mentioned that you moved to St. Catharines, I think you mentioned about 15 years ago now?
Yes.
Yeah. How the arena helped you guys become a part of the community and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mentioned I was from Windsor, Ontario, and we had an old arena just like this one. We used to call it the Barn. And when we started playing at the Jack, you know, it reminded me immediately of the old days when I would go with my dad to Spitfire games to watch OHL hockey and things like that. And that arena seemed giant and just absolutely amazing. So when my boys got into the league and started playing, and it's like, it's not just an arena where you just stand along the boards and that's it. It's kind of the stadium arena, and it was really cool to be in a building with a history like that, take them to OHL games. I do think joining the CYO and having our team based in a parish, we live in the St. Mary's Parish and we went to that church too, it really kind of put us into a community immediately, both our religious affiliation as well as what our kids did for sport in the wintertime. And it connected with them very, very much. So, I did say it helped us, it helped ingrain ourselves to the community very quickly. Sport was a great way for us to get familiar and meet new people when we moved here, that's for sure.
I just have one final follow-up question for you. I was just wondering if you had any memories. You mentioned that you visited Ice Dogs games and other games with your kids, or any other events that you went to the arena for. Could you just kind of tell us a little bit about your experiences with that and the culture around it? Any experiences that you have with that?
For sure. I think we probably went to 8 or 10 Ice Dog games over the years when they were still playing out of that arena. And it was always a big thrill for the kids to go and us to get tickets. And we did it both through CYO, had one or two events a year. And then Cub Scouts, we did it a few times with those groups. And, you know, being a coach and involved in scouting too, you know, it wasn't just about enjoying the hockey with your own kids. You have to watch these other kids too that are your responsibility. So that was nerve-wracking because, you know, it's like, oh, got to go to the washroom. Okay, let's all, you know, 10 of us go together and everyone's got to, you know, you just got to make sure everyone's safe and no one's going to wander away or get lost in the crowd. So, yeah, sometimes it was nerve-wracking, but when the hockey was being played, and you know, a goal was scored, or I think the kids were more impressed by the mascot when the mascot would be coming down at the window or something like that. And the kids were more interested in that and just laughing and throwing popcorn at each other. And then they would see a friend across on the other side, and you know, in between periods, they'd go and chat. You know, those things are really good. And that just reminded me. I think in that those earliest years. My boys got to play that little tight game that they do in between periods at an OHL Ice Dogs game. So that was really, really cool for them. So, you know, good memories all around of doing those bigger events in the arena.
That's always great memories when you're a kid just running around and yeah. Getting in trouble.
Find a puck, it's better than finding a $10 bill. Yeah.
That is definitely good memories there. So I thought of one more question while we were talking, but it's kind of just a guess question, basically. There's no right or wrong answer, really, but how do you think your life would have been different and moving to St. Catharines would have been different? How do you think it would have changed had this arena not been around?
We live actually very close to the Seymour Hanna Arena, and I could see us playing there a lot, but, you know, I don't think CYO was active at that arena, but not everything, the history and everything was based out of the Jack. And I think our age group, always played like 80% of our games were at the Jack, and it just felt more authentic, I guess, rather than an old or a brand new arena like the Four Pad. You know, it's nice, the dressing rooms are bigger and, you know, it smells better and everything, but there's something to the Jack, and it just that old seating and the history, and knowing that people have been playing there for generations upon generations, and high level hockey was played there. You know, I like history, so I appreciate that much more than a brand new arena. You can make great memories there too, for sure. But there was certainly a legacy that we're proud to be a small part of it. So it made me feel like, you know, we were a small part of St. Catharines sporting history and joined through that arena. So it was a good thing.
Is there any other memories or anecdotes that you'd like to share with us before we finish?
I can't think of it. 3 hours from now, interview me again and I'll have totally different answers or something, but I think I'm good.
Thank you so much for agreeing to interview with us.
I'm very happy you're doing this. That's you're doing a good thing. So good luck to you both.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Take care.